Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful to be gathered together again this beautiful day. And so essential that we do this, isn't it? I mean, the world out there is a little crazy. Have anybody noticed?
Yeah, okay.
It seems to be rather like in your face these days, how crazy the world is and how more and more difficult it is to live as Christians in this world. And you know, it's so essential that we come to a place every week and are reminded of who we are, and we're reminded of to whom we belong, to remind us that we're just not out there in the world alone trying to do the things that God wants us to do, but that he is with us, and that we belong to him, and that when we fall down, he has made a way for forgiveness and restoration into this relationship. And so let us remember the day that we were brought into this family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, this opportunity for you to minister to us, to give us what we need, Lord, and to give us an opportunity to respond in words of thanks and praise and adoration. Lord, I pray that you would be here among us and your Spirit so that we can understand you better, so that we can know better what it is you feel for us and what it is you have done for us and what you have promised for our future. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us now return praise and thanksgiving to this amazing God who has rescued us.
See the heavens declare your praise. mountains declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you.
Each month we feature a hymn. This month our hymn is Just As I Am, written by Charlotte Elliott, who suffered from an illness, leaving her disabled. In 1834, Elliott moved to Brighton and lived with her brother, the Reverend Henry Venn Elliott. One day, when everyone in her family had gone to a church bazaar to raise funds for a charity school, Elliott was left alone, confined by her sickness. Though depressed with feelings of uselessness and loneliness, she recalled the message, "Come to Christ just as you are," which she had received from Caesar Milan during the darkest period of her soul. She then overcame her distress to write this hymn. The repetition of the short line, "O Lamb of God, I come," is a commitment to the Jesus-centered life. Hymnologist J.R. Watson notes that there is a beautiful structure in this hymn, from the nakedness of "Just As I Am" to the climax of "O Lamb of God, I come." People aren't good enough to come to Jesus. It is through God's initiative, pardon, promises, and free love mentioned throughout the hymn that everyone can come to Jesus. Just like Elliot, people will face conflict, doubt, and fighting and fears within and without. But one can find rest in Jesus.
Free.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Shigg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to chapter 12, verse 2. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back from the dead, raised to life again. There were those who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is God's word for today. It's now time for the children's message. So children, if you guys would come forward at this time, I believe Mrs. Frazier has the message today.
Good morning, everybody. What time of the year is it right now? Does anybody know? What?
Summer.
Summer. But it's towards the end of the summer and the beginning of fall. And around this time, something starts.
Leaves changing colors.
Well, leaves change color in the fall, you're right. But there's something that a lot of kids go to and study.
School.
Who's excited for school?
I've already started.
Okay, out there, who's excited for school? I see every one of our teachers out there excited for school. Awesome. Yes, I'm excited for school too. Now, school's about to start. Now, when I was a little girl, my favorite part of school was recess. Who likes recess? It's so much fun to go outside.
My school's only 2 hours because I do homeschool.
Homeschool's awesome too, isn't it? Well, I loved recess, but sometimes at recess we would play lots of different games. And one of those games we would have to divide into two different teams. Sometimes we would have a girls team and a boys team. Sometimes we would stand in a line and number off 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And all of the ones would be on one team. All of the twos would be on another team. And that's how we would split up. Now, every day in our lives, sometimes we're divided into groups too. We might be divided by our size. Or in school, we're divided by our age, right? sometimes by our hair color or our likes and our dislikes. So I have a piece of tape here on the floor, and I'm going to have you show me something. Are you ready? If you like, I'm going to tell you two things, and you have to tell me which side you would be on. So let's start with ice cream. I know you guys all like ice cream. If you would prefer vanilla ice cream, I want you to go to this side. If you'd prefer chocolate ice cream, go to this side.
I'm all right. Where would you go? On the side I like. I like chocolate ice cream.
Mm, me too.
Chocolate's way better.
Do you like chocolate or vanilla? Chocolate, okay. Now, okay. So we're kind of divided. Some of us like chocolate, but a lot of you guys like vanilla. How about baseball or soccer? If you like baseball, stay on this side. If you like soccer, go to this side. Okay, you can stand on the line if you don't like any. That's another way to be divided, right? You don't like any of them. Okay, now this time, how about music? If you like rock and roll, go to that side. If you like hip-hop music, come over here. Okay, divided again. All right, you guys can sit down.
On the line now.
Now, as you can see, we don't all like the same things, do we? One time, Jesus said that he was going to be the cause of division among the people. Now, what do you think he meant by that?
I don't really know.
What do you think?
He was going to help a lot of people.
Well, he meant that even though he came to die on the cross to save the whole world, there would be some who would not believe. He wanted everyone to follow his teachings and be on his team, but he knew it wouldn't be that way. So there would be some who would follow and others who would not. Now, if I were to say to you, everyone who wants to follow Jesus, come to this side of the line, I'm sure everyone would come over here, right? But sadly, it doesn't always happen that way. There are some who follow Jesus, and there are some who don't. And that makes Jesus sad, and it makes us sad, too. But that's why it is so important that we tell... It's so important to tell others about Jesus and his love for us, and pray that other people will follow Jesus, too. So let's fold our hands so we can pray. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we love you.
We want to follow you
day by day.
Help us
to tell others
that you love them too,
that you died for them,
so they can choose to follow you
too. Amen. Have a great day.
All right, my friends, it is now time for a little worship. So anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can head to the back. I don't see a cross anywhere, but I take it on faith somebody's back there. And the rest of us, let's open our scriptures and dig in here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you'd be present here, Lord. Speak through my words and speak through your word, Lord, more than anything. Feed us, Lord, with the things that we need to know and encourage us, Lord, as we face this future with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this verse is a little interesting. Did you notice? I mean, it's, you know, I love it in the Greek. The first word is fire. I mean, I think Jesus is trying to make an impact here with this whole thing. You know, it's not one of those like, you know, I came to bring peace into the world. I mean, where did we get the idea that Jesus came to bring peace anyway, right? Well, except right here. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, wait, nope, that's going too far. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Sound familiar? Every child has memorized these lines. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So it's, I guess, rather understandable that we have this whole idea that Jesus came to bring peace. After all, it was rather loudly proclaimed by angels. And when you think about angels, just understand. Remember when Hezekiah was trapped in Jerusalem? Remember that? It was in the Old Testament. Sennacherib came down from the north, from Nineveh, and he was coming down, and he was going to trounce Israel, and he went through every big city, all the fortified cities, and finally he came to the capital city, and he surrounded the capital city, and he put them under siege, and Hezekiah was like, what can I do? I'm toast. And he prays to God, or Sennacherib sends him a message basically saying, give up, there's no hope. And Hezekiah brings the letter that Sennacherib sent and puts it in the temple and says, it's in your hands, God. And you know how many angels God sent? There was like, was it 70,000 soldiers in the Syrian army? Guess how many angels God sent to wipe them out? One. God said, looks like a one angel job to me. All right, now, when it came to proclaiming the birth of his son, how many angels did he send? A multitude. Okay, that's more than one, just so we know. All right, so the thing is this. I mean, did God, like, make that lesson, or was he, like, putting an enormous exclamation point at the end of the sentence when he said, good news, peace on earth? I mean, kind of a big deal, right? So what's up with this whole thing that Jesus does here where he just, like, all of a sudden turns everything around and he says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint, what tension am I, what emotion am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. So tell me, the world divided? Yeah. Here's the thing, is if Jesus came to bring peace, like, right now, did he succeed? Ha! Stumped you, didn't I? I mean, which is right? Did Jesus come to bring peace, or did he come to bring division? Which is it? Well, exactly. It's, yeah. And how does that work? Well, here's the thing. When everybody is lost in sin and nobody knows the right way, can we agree on stuff? I mean, we're probably going to fight anyway because that's just what people do. But the thing is can we agree on it a lot more, right? Like, we can agree on what's valuable in life: power, money, authority, stature, reputation, all of those things. That's going to be what's going to be important, and we can fight over that. At least we're agreeing on what we're fighting over, right? But then God in his mercy sends his son into this world to die for us and to make us his children. And we have this amazing thing that happens called conversion. It's an incredible miracle that God does, where he takes a person who is an enemy of God, somebody who doesn't even want a relationship with God, doesn't want anything good, wants their own selfish way, wants what they want, and changes them into a person that follows after him. I think about that radical shift that happens in conversion. The thing is this: before you were converted, at least you agreed with everybody else in what's important, right? At least you're on the same page on the values of the world and what we're all going to fight over. Now, do you agree with everybody else anymore? I mean, think about it, right? Jesus says, who's the greatest among you? If you want to be the very greatest, then you should be the servant of all. Well, that's not the same as before. Before is, if I wanted to be the greatest, I'd make everybody else my servant, right? And so it's like, there's just, what happened here? And the thing is that, you know, I mean, now in the past, it was like, you know, everybody was going to use all of their resources and abilities and everything that they had, their time, their money, their gifting, whatever it is, they would use it for the purpose of elevating themselves and getting ahead. And now God says, what are we supposed to do with all of these gifts and abilities and money and resources and everything that God gives us? Is it to get ourselves ahead? No, it's to push God. Push his gospel, to spread this message of salvation throughout the world, which is not at all what we were talking about before. And instead of living our lives selfishly for ourselves, God changes us around and he says, the fulfillment of my law, in other words, to give gracious thanksgiving to me for everything that I've done for you, here's what I want. I want you to love each other, and loving each other is sacrificial service. That we would willingly give of ourselves, that we would consider the needs of others before our own needs, that we would be giving, which is not the way it was before. I mean, Jesus really, truly did come to turn everything upside down. And the trouble with that is that does it have real consequences in the world? Well, yeah, because here's the thing. In the past, we wanted people to think well of us. We wanted to be loved. We wanted to be honored. Do we still like that? I mean, isn't it nice when somebody comes and says thank you and appreciates your efforts and your work? But is that our ultimate goal anymore? I mean, our ultimate goal now is to speak God's truth. Let me tell you how popular that can make you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, things can get rough when you speak God's truth. I mean, when you simply say what is right in the wrong context these days, you can get fired. You can lose friends. You can get canceled. You know, I mean, it's a rough world out there. And the question is, what are we going to do about that? I mean, how are we supposed to live in this world? I mean, the temptation, the thing that you really want to do is just keep your head down, right? Don't make any waves. Don't say anything that'll get you in trouble. The only problem is that what God tells us to do? Or does he say, my word is good for teaching, instruction, rebuking? I mean, aren't we supposed to be doing something with this word that God has given us? And if we do, can we expect to live in conflict? And is it worth it? This is a little harsh because these are real questions today. I mean, for the longest time in our country, we lived with this really amazing bubble in time of religious liberty, where we were able to say what we believed and other people could say what they believed and we could live together and it was all okay. But now we're living in a time when it's not okay to the world that we would speak God's truth. Does that mean we stop speaking God's truth? I mean, do not still have the responsibility to be his witnesses in this world? I mean, are we suggesting that possibly God gave us a whole bunch of teaching in the Bible that was just extra, that's not very important, that the God of creation just was, you know, he just went on a bit longer than he needed to? Well, probably not. So what do we do with that? And so we're stuck with a text that kind of makes it hard. He tells us, he doesn't just tell us that division is possible. He says division is coming. And look at Jesus' life. Did he have any division? A few times. You know, when the Pharisees, the church leaders, the good people, the teachers of the law come out and he says, whitewashed tombs, brood of vipers. Yeah, he probably wasn't all that popular. In fact, where did it land him? On the cross, yeah. So, because Jesus was treated so gently, we can expect such gentle treatment as well, correct? But why? Why do we do this? Why would we be willing to suffer? Why would we be willing to face that kind of trouble in life? Why would we be willing to be hated, to be misrepresented, to be canceled, have people put words in our mouths that are not correct? You know, and to have people misrepresent us. Why would we be willing to stand out and to do these things and carry that burden? Why are we doing this? I mean, is there any point to it, or is it just that God likes to watch us suffer? Why are we doing this? And the answer is, we're doing this for the same reason Jesus went to the cross. Why did Jesus go to the cross? To save us. Did he go to the cross because he loved us? Did he go to the cross because he knew that we were in a very bad way and we needed saving? That there was no way we were going to be able to save ourselves. There was nothing that could be done. That it was, we were desperately needing rescue, just like we just sang in the song. We come broken, we come lost, we come sinful, we come a mess, and God rescues us. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he took your sin upon himself. He became the curse for you. He paid the penalty in full. Final words on the cross, it is... Does Jesus mean it? Yeah, he meant it. It's done. It's gone. And because of what Jesus did for us, because he willingly suffered, because he put himself on the line, because he came to make clear the will of the Father and the plan of the Father, this amazing plan of salvation that God had been working out for since the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, because Jesus was willing to do all that, we are rescued. And now we stand in this world as rescued people, as people who belong to him, people who have been redeemed, people who have been converted, people who are saved. And we look around in the world, and what do we see? Is everybody else saved? And what are we going to do about that? We're going to be quiet, we're going to keep our heads down, and we're going to say nothing. Is that right? No, see, it's the opposite of what we need to do. What we need to do is we need to, as 1 Peter says, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us and to do it with gentleness and respect, to be bold in our witness, to share the love of Christ, to share the full counsel of God, which means not just the gospel, but also God's rules, the reality of the way God created the world, how God made us to live, how it's best for human beings to function and to be with each other in this world. And are we allowed to just simply fly low and be quiet? Is that pleasing to God? Does that give glory to the God who revealed his truth to us? It doesn't. And so this is a hard Sunday. I'm so sorry. You're going to leave here feeling a little down. I'm just the way it is. You know, here's the thing is that I'm in the same position I'm asking you to be. This Bible verse came up in the pericope, and, you know, the first temptation is to go, well, what's the epistle say today? You know, because it's like you just don't want to have to deal with that. But is this in the Bible? Is this real? Is this really important? Is this important for our relationship with God? All of that is yes, it absolutely is. And so, do I get to just skip over that text? No, just like I'm telling you, you guys got to go out and say hard things in the world. I got to come to church today and say hard things. But it's only hard things. The only reason we get to do these hard things, the only reason we get to be God's ambassadors in the world, the only reason that we are his witnesses is because of all the good news. You've been redeemed. You are loved by God. Christ's death and resurrection covered your sin and redeemed you. Sin has been wiped out. You're going to heaven to be with him for eternity. Will there be some tough times ahead in this world? Absolutely, no question about it. But are you out there alone? You've got the Spirit in you since your baptism. Jesus said, I will never leave you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Go and do all these things, and I will never leave you, is the last words Jesus said to his disciples right before going up into heaven. Think he means it? So here is the deal. Life is not going to be easy. Jesus is being very clear. He's not promising rainbows. He's promising hardship. But he's also promising heaven. We drive through this to get to that. Not in order that we can earn that. It's already promised. But while we are here in this world, we function as his hands and feet and his voice. We speak, we do. And everything we do as if we are doing it for God himself, because we are. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have made us your people. We thank you that you have brought us into your family, that you have given us, Lord, a purpose in our lives, a reason that we live, a thing to do, Lord, and for welcoming us into the work of your ministry. The work, the spreading, Lord, of this message of salvation, Lord, that we have learned. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, help us to be courageous, help us to be bold. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us and protect us, as you have promised to do. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to always have our eyes on that final day, the day when you come for us again, knowing that everything will be set right. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. And now, we're going to continue our worship this morning by taking the offering. And this is another one of those painful things, right? It can be. It's actually a joyful thing once we get to the point where we kind of, you know, understand it and get it, and we can give worshipfully and gladly and stuff. But one of the places that we experience division is in ourselves, where we have our old man that is talking, you know, old worldly thoughts, and the new person that Christ has made, and we're kind of living with both of these in us at the same time. And sometimes the old man can make giving a hard thing, you know, thinking about how, you know, I need this money more than they do, and you know, all that. What am I, if I give, I won't have enough, or, I mean, all kinds of things we tell ourselves. And the fact is, God just says give. And because we trust him as our provider, because we trust him as the one who knows best, we do what he says out of worship and love. So let us collect the offering. And as the offering is collected, let us enjoy this the song, How Great Is Our God. Rise up.
every creature in the sea and every flying bird. Let every mountain, every field and valley of the earth. Let all the moon and all the stars in all the universe sing praises to the living God who rules them by his word.
Stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, please have a seat at this time. And at this time, I'd also like to invite all of our faculty from our school to come forward at this time, which translates into all the people wearing these cool shirts. All right. Well, these people are all of our staff of our church. They're not all of them, though. We have like almost 50, I think. We've got a whole bunch of them. But this is at least the professional staff and a few of our aides as they were able to come. And so the reason we have our teachers is really simple. God has given us more ministry than one pastor can handle. That's how that worked. We have a whole bunch of these little people that show up here 3 weeks through 8th grade, which that's a lot of kids. It's about nearly 150. It's a full group. And so we have these wonderful teachers that God has also given us. People who love Jesus and love children and love to teach children about Jesus. And so that's what we have, and that's what we get to do as God's people here. And so what I want to read is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So teachers, got some questions for you. Will you use the gifts that God has given you to love and to serve the community of St. Mark's here at our church? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Will you use every opportunity to reveal the whole counsel of God to your students? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Will you continue to grow in your faith so that you will be prepared to make the most of every opportunity with the gospel? If so, say, I will.
I will.
All right, the rest of you. Here's a question for you. Will you support these who minister on your behalf with encouragement, support, and prayer? If so, say, I will. Louder. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We have such excitement as we go into this new school year, Lord. We're just waiting for the kids to show up and frantically doing the last-minute preparations to make sure that everything is just right for them. Lord, I pray that you would bless this year. Bless the students who are coming. Bless them, Lord, with open minds, Lord. Bless the families, Lord, that they would be open to hearing your word and be encouraged in their faith or coming to faith, whichever applies. Lord, I pray that you would be with our teachers, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them the patience and the perseverance, Lord, to do a difficult job and to do it with grace, Lord, the grace that they have received from you. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love. And we lean on you as we do your work. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Outstanding. And now Steve has something. This is Steve, and he is the chairman of our board of directors, thus making him chairman of our congregation. And it is on. Outstanding.
Kathy and Janet, would you come up? Building off of what Bob talked about in the sermon, our staff have committed to doing ministry for us here at St. Mark's, and some of our staff committed a while ago. The district honors staff members with years of service, and we have two special awards today. Kathy has been a teacher for 10 years this year, and you're not old enough for that. that's pretty amazing. And Janet has actually been in ministry in the Lutheran Church for 15 years. So we have awards from Pastor Hagen for those big events. Would you bow your heads and pray with me for Janet and for Kathy? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the teachers in our school, and we thank you for the milestones that Janet and Kathy have in their ministry, their commitment to serve your children and your word here at St. Mark's and throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We thank you for their commitment, for their family's commitment, and their continued support from St. Mark's. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. And then I have one more thing I want to do after you get your certificates. Would Anne and Martina and Angela please come forward? Come on up. All right. Now, I was telling you about the gifts that we have of these teachers, right? Well, God, we had need of more teachers, and God has provided, and he provided pretty good, I got to say. I'm very, very pleased with how God has done. I thank God that he sent us these three teachers. Martina and Angela are going to be teaching in our middle school, and Anne is going to be teaching three-year-olds, correct? Outstanding. So Anne, come up here too. I didn't include her at first because she started like halfway through the year, but she is also an amazing teacher. These are both our three-year-old teachers, and our middle school teachers are up here. So as you guys get a chance to greet all the teachers after the service today, make sure you hunt these down for sure, and make sure that they feel really awkward but welcomed, okay? Excellent. That's the goal. Outstanding. With that then, everybody, please sit down again. Thank you so much. And let's praise God for his provision of such great workers. All right. And now let us continue our service this morning. And as we continue, we want to remember Jody Kavanaugh, who has a broken femur. Jim Moss, who's been in the hospital over the last week with heart problems, and Ron Schutte, who just continues to deal with blood clots and memory issues. And so we want to be praying for those people, and we will cover everybody else, because I know there's other needs out there. I just only know the ones I know. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with our church, Lord. We thank you that you have made us members of this church, Lord, a gathering of people who seek after you and desire to do your will and sacrificially go forward and make things happen. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to guide us, give us direction, give us wisdom, give us provision, give us everything that we need, Lord, so that we can be effective in your service. Lord, there's so many people out there who have needs, and it feels overwhelming sometimes, all the needs that are there. But Lord, we know that you have that you make us sufficient. You continue to give us everything we need so that we can work for you. Lord, I pray that you would also be with those who are feeling ill these days. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Jody with her broken bones, with Jim with his heart issues, with Ron with his blood clots. Lord, I pray that you would give them healing, that you would give them strength, that you would hold them to yourselves, Lord, that in the middle of their frustration and their pain, Lord, that they would have your peace. We thank you, Lord, for that, and we thank you that you have called us into your service. Help us, Lord, as we be courageously. Live out your work in our lives. All these things we bring before you when we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Have mercy, Lord, have mercy on us. for scorning our very Maker. In thought, word, and deed, we fail to our King. How deeply we need a Savior. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Friends, I think sometimes we blow by these really big moments without really thinking about the impact, the reality of what just happened. Each of us have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the body and blood of God himself. I mean, that's not a small thing. And through this body and blood, we are promised forgiveness of sins, strength, and salvation. Think about that. I mean, strength from God himself, forgiveness, peace. It's pretty amazing stuff. So as you go your way, where am I? Oh yeah, having received God's body and blood and knowing his promise is true, depart in peace. In your name, in his name, amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, as we sing the final song together, I ask you that you would also register your attendance. I was supposed to do that back at the offering, but you know me. So if we could do that now, that would be amazing. And let us sing praise to this God. He is just amazing.
Sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Sorrow may last more than that. His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down. The joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain.
All right, my friends. First of all, Backpack Blessing is coming on August 28th. It's the day that we have all the kids come forward and we just pray for their school year and all the things they're going to be learning this year. Let's see here. We have Drive-In Movie Night is coming up September 23rd. Space is limited, so reserve your spot. We have drive-up movies. Yes, it'll be fun. And the other thing is... Yeah, if anybody would like to have individual prayer, we have an elder available, Kevin Shagg. He'll be in the prayer chapel after the service to pray for anybody if you wish. And let me just tell you, as pastor, I am so excited about this year. We have got an outstanding school staff, outstanding. They're amazing. And he really didn't give her full billing when she came up for children's message. I should have told you, but Kathy Frazier is our new school director. And she's amazing at her job. She does incredibly well, very organized, very together, and very calm. It's amazing. She can stay calm because it's not a calm place, but she stays very calm, and it's just wonderful to watch her as she explores her gifts and continues to grow. So, folks, it's a good place, and just keep them in prayer and rejoice that God has blessed us so much. All right, I will see you guys in the back.